I am so humbled by the action of this platform, this Stu Peters family. You are responsible for saving a life over the weekend. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, the 17th of January, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. We know that a lot of you have been waiting eagerly for an update on that big story out of Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And for anyone that wasn't here last week, we're going to fill you in. Scott Kwiner was a perfectly healthy person when he contracted this chimerically engineered Tony Fauci gain-of-function developed Wuhan, China bioweapons laboratory created COVID-19 this past fall. There was no reason that he should have become deathly ill from it, because virtually nobody does. But that's exactly what happened when he ended up in the care of Mercy Hospital. Almost certainly because he was unvaccinated, it's like the hospital didn't care if he lived or if he died. Actually, that's selling it short. As of last week, we know that the hospital wanted Scott Kwiner dead. As soon as Scott got under its control, Mercy Hospital followed this deadly pattern that we've seen play out over and over again all over the country. They put these patients on a cocktail of sedatives. They get them on ventilators as quickly as possible while their health just totally falls apart. And at Mercy, they did a whole lot more. According to Scott's wife, Annie, the hospital also denied Scott adequate nutrition, basic vitamins, necessary fluids. So, of course, he became extremely malnourished, lost a ton of weight. Annie says nearly 30 pounds while under the care of these doctors at Mercy Hospital. So last week, the doctors at Mercy called Annie and tried to browbeat her into letting Scott be taken off a ventilator to die. Actually, they told her that that's what they intended to do, and it didn't matter if Annie submitted or not. They were going to unplug Scott Kwiner from life at high noon last Thursday. And that was that. Annie's only shot was to take things to court. The court of law, of course, and the court of public opinion. After we had Annie on to tell her story, Mercy Hospital was barraged with what we're told was thousands of your phone calls and thousands of your emails. The hospital was actually forced to remove Dr. Ryan Else and Dr. Linda Susi from their website due to an explosion of traffic and emails sent through the Allina Healthcare website. And the switchboard phone answering method had to be altered completely. The hospital even got the local sheriff involved, saying that they were being harassed. Local news media desks were asking people calling them to stop calling the hospital because they, quote, couldn't get any work done with all of the calls. Couldn't get any work done. Good. That may have inadvertently saved many other lives, because we know what their work is. Meanwhile, Mercy Hospital, the same hospital that wasn't willing to try any outside-the-box treatments to save Scott's life, was happy to hire one of Minneapolis's most powerful law firms, called Fredrickson and Byron, to argue in support of killing him. The Kwiner family attorney had filed a temporary restraining order to keep them from pulling the plug, and they actually hired a law firm and found a law firm that was willing to argue why this premeditated execution should be allowed. By the way, since we publicized that that firm did that, their Google reviews dropped from 5 stars to about 1.2 stars, as they deserve. But just a few hours after our segment aired, the Kwiner's attorney, Marjorie Holston, reported that a Minnesota judge had done the right thing. That judge had ruled in favor of that restraining order, and that Mercy had to keep Scott hooked up until a hearing could be held on the 11th of February, next month. But of course, why would Annie even want her husband cared for by the doctors who so badly wanted him dead? Fortunately, a doctor in Texas got in contact with Annie and said that he was willing to treat Scott and had a bed available. So over the weekend, after this audience sprung into action, and when Mercy and Fredrickson and Byron knew that the world was watching, reluctantly, Mercy Hospital agreed to and signed off on a transfer. So Scott was flown from Minneapolis to Texas via LifeLink aircraft. Now, that flight wasn't necessarily without incident. At one point, the flight crew noticed a leak somewhere in the flow of oxygen, and Scott's O2 levels dropped below 61. Annie says that Scott temporarily had no pulse, but these LifeLink EMTs sprung into action. She described this scene. These guys were throwing things around the cabin of the aircraft and were able to stabilize Scott and get him to the hospital where he's now getting cared for. He's getting nutrition. We want to acknowledge and thank those two warriors, those two EMTs from LifeLink. We know their names are Keith and Mac. Thank you. Now, of course, we don't know yet how things will turn out for Scott. He's been the victim of horrific mistreatment at best, at worst, aggravated assault, medical battery, malpractice, attempted murder from the people who were supposed to help him for nearly 3 months. As a matter of fact, the doctor who took Scott into his care in Texas says that he has never in his 30-year career seen a more malnourished patient. So he now has Scott on a cocktail of new drugs, a proper supply of nutrition, things like ivermectin. He says that Scott's oxygen is up with the vent turned down and that he seems to now be responding to this treatment and to pain and squeezing fingers. We're praying that Scott's progress will continue and that one day we'll be able to sit down with him in person. Can you imagine? Speak with him at a table, at a desk, right here on this program, so that he can address you. You played a critical role in making this happen. Without the action of this Stu Peters Show family, we're quite certain that the hospital, along with this high-powered law firm, Frederickson and Byron, and their attorneys, would have just steamrolled right over Annie, right over her attorney, Marjorie Holston, and then executed her husband. That's what they told us they were going to do. And the donations. We want to thank every one of our viewers who donated to the Give, Send, Go that's set up in support of the Quiner family and ask that you all continue to give. Annie and Scott are going to need every penny and then some. For those who used their voices to get Scott the care that he and every other American deserves and make sure that he at least got a chance instead of simply being killed, murdered, executed for choosing not to be vaccinated, we thank you. Without you, Scott would have been killed last Thursday at noon. Period. Thomas Renz is an attorney. You've heard him on this show before. He's been filing legal challenges all over the country against coronavirus tyranny, fighting this COVID death cult. He's been in contact with us over the weekend about this case, which he says now may very well involve criminal conduct by Mercy Hospital, and he joins us now to tell us why. Thank you. Why criminal charges?
Well, they certainly should be investigated. And let me throw this in real quick. I want to thank Marjorie, the attorney in Minnesota, who helped us to get the TRO on this. That TRO and your audience. So I want to tell you, Stu, what you said, and this is so important for your audience to hear, what you said is so true. I'm dealing with this all over the country, all over. And I've watched it over and over and over again. These guys do exactly what they've done here. I've got cases from all over the country. I know you and I have talked about, and by the way, viewers, stay tuned because Stu has actually offered to give us a forum to bring people out to show exactly how bad this is and how widespread it is. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of the time, we can't save them. We can't. Because you, the audience in this show, had the courage to stand up, because we, the people, had the courage to stand up, because we stood behind this, you did. You are a big part of the reason that this man's life is still there and that he has an opportunity to heal. So God bless you, Stu, and God bless the audience on this, because you're dead on. If not for these people having the courage to take a stand, if not for you having the courage, this could very well have been another situation where the attorneys give everything they can, but it's allowed to go on until it's too late.
So this is now going to be in the hands, because you can't just file criminal charges. It doesn't work like that. Thomas Renz can't do that. This show can't do that. Nope. So now
I'm not a prosecutor.
Here in Minnesota, the Anoka County Sheriff, who seems to be a constitutional sheriff, probably one of the only remaining here in this People's Republic of Minnesota, it's up to James Stewart then to decide if a criminal investigation will indeed be conducted. And then if it is, it would be up to the district attorney or the county attorney here in Anoka County, Minnesota, to determine whether or not they're going to proceed criminal charges.
Absolutely. So let me tell you how this works. So, you know, we can and probably will, we'll see, we'll probably sue the hospital, but that's civil and that's money damages, right? There needs to be a criminal investigation, right? I mean, listen, they said, we want to kill your husband. Yeah, when you remove treatment, and let me give you the equivalent here, right? So if I point a gun at you and pull the trigger and shoot you and you die, and I say, well, I didn't want you to die, I just thought it'd be fun to point the gun and pull the trigger. Well, listen, that's still murder, right?
Listen, if you point the gun at me and just tell me you're going to kill me, that's a criminal offense.
Well, it is.
And
it
that's
is.
What they did here. They pointed it, that well, proverbial they did more, gun. Though.
They did more. They did more than just that. They went to court and requested that the court order that they be allowed to remove the ventilator, to pull the plug on this guy. They requested in court. They found a law firm that was willing to go to court and request and support them murdering this man.
That still blows
my
mind.
There was no question that if they withdrew support, you know, by pulling the plug, that this guy would die. There's no question. It's the equivalent to pulling that trigger while you're aiming the gun at someone. We know that's what that is. That is absolutely, absolutely in my mind criminal. And I want the sheriff. So what we're going to do, and let me tell you, the sheriff, they actually got in touch with us. We did speak with them and they were very professional. So what we're going to do is we told them that we're going to draft up a document that kind of lays out some of what's going on. And then we're going to give it to them and they can decide whether they're going to investigate. And once they've investigated, the prosecutor will have to decide whether he's going to press charges. Now, when we do that document, Stu, I would love to come back and share it with you and your audience so that everybody can see what happened. And then we'll lay it out, you know, and you guys can decide for yourself whether you think that you need to support our position that there should be an investigation and possibly an indictment. Or not. We the people need to take a stand, because let me tell you what happens everywhere else. See, we've had this a lot of times. And in a few cases, we've been able to save some lives. In other cases, we haven't, even when it's this egregious. But the difference in this one, one of the big differences is, Stu, that you have one of the most engaged and active audiences I've ran across.
Yeah.
These guys picked up the phone and did stuff. And that's what we got to have. Everybody keeps saying, because I'm running around the country fighting this stuff. Well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, you can do something. And in this case, they did. The people did something and it worked. And so we're going to do this. We're going to see if we can't get, because there needs to be a criminal investigation. The protocols that this hospital used not only don't work, but they know they don't work. They didn't feed this guy. They withheld nutrition. The guy was malnourished, but this isn't the exception, Stu. It's the norm. Everywhere I go around the country, if it was one hospital, fine. It's hospital after hospital after hospital. And guess what I got this morning, Stu?
You get?
I got a phone call from another person whose father was treated at this hospital. His father was a vet. He actually survived the treatment, but guess what? They told me, and I haven't had the opportunity to fully investigate this, but they have alleged that this man was actually physically abused at this hospital in multiple ways. Physically abused. Now, we're going to work out the details on this, but this isn't a surprise to me, because I've heard these allegations in other hospitals around the country. But you got to figure, you know, that sounds like, oh my gosh, how could that happen? But Stu, it's not far-fetched to think that if you're going into a unit, a COVID unit, and they're doing things that they know are going to result in your death, because they know remdesivir is a dangerous drug. They know that if you go on the vent, you're probably going to die. They know these treatments are not treatments. They're actually ways to kill you. If you're going into a unit that knows this, where the medical professionals know this, and yet they're doing it anyways, is it really so far-fetched to think that they would be abusive?
Not at all.
I mean, they're killing people.
And yeah, we're going to have that forum. We're going to offer this platform as a way to save lives. Obviously, logistically, there are things that we have to work out. There has to be a doctor that's willing to accept the patient. There has to be a hospital that has a bed available. There's a lot of things that go into the back end of making this happen. And all of this happened, you are right, as a result of God using this platform and encouraging people to respond to his call to shine his big bright light into the crevice of darkness over there at Mercy Hospital and then spring themselves into action. I mean, to have to revamp the entire way that they are answering phone calls, set up a whole new switchboard, remove these tyrannical doctors from their website, hire a law firm, which now has a very low Google rating as they should. That was incredible to watch. That was incredible to see this, what I call a family here at the Stu Peters Show. I don't think that there's another show that has an audience that's this engaged in the entire world. And, you know, so now today we're going to hear from Dr. Brian Artis on this remdesivir and how they know and what it is, the cocktail that they're using and how they're actually killing all of these patients, not just here in Coon Rapids at Merciless Hospital, but also all over the country and how they know about this remdesivir. And then we're going to talk to Dr. Vliet, who's going to tell us why they're doing this. And she has the proof of all of this. But coming up next, we're going to speak with a woman whose husband was killed at Mercy Hospital as this was going on with Scott Quiner. And this doctor literally looked her in the eyes, Tom, and said, "Your husband is going to die." This is insane. And it's past time that we get involved and say enough is enough and that this stops. And for spearheading this legally, and you have been, we thank you. Tom Renz, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Stu, let me remind you one last thing before I leave. People watching this, audience, people, the Peters family here, right? Remember something. This is happening because our elected officials are refusing to hold the people accountable who have done this. Anthony Fauci, his NIH protocols, and the people that are pushing this down, and the laws that they have passed that have funded the hospitals doing this and created immunity for them are the reason that these people are being murdered. You need to hold your elected officials accountable. We're going to lay it all out with Stu in the future. When we're done, the light of truth will be shined on this darkness, and we're going to lift it.
I believe that in Jesus' name. Thomas Renz, thank you so much. I got to get to break. More of the Stu Peters Show in just 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jabs have become self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
I was incapacitated. I was literally laying down the entire day with a terrible migraine. I actually passed clots, which obviously is insanely alarming.
Clots?
Yes.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com. Give the most of Red Voice Media by going premium. Exclusive behind-the-scenes content, one-on-one extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters, and deep-dive investigative reports. All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member. Always 100% America first. True conservative values. Action-based reporting with courage. 100% ad-free content, including the headlines mainstream media won't touch. Uncensored. Unafraid. Unstoppable. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
So we're hopeful that Scott Quiner will make a recovery despite the best efforts of Mercy Hospital to finish him off. But sadly, there are some families that aren't so lucky. It's already too late to save their family members from Mercy's mismanagement, their intentional assault, premeditated murder. Rita Kroon heard of our segment about Scott and reached out to us recently. She had this to say, quote, "My husband was a patient at Mercy Hospital from November 26th through December 9th, 2021. We both had tested positive for SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 was detected. Bert was not vaccinated and received negligent care at best. He lost 15 pounds in 10 days because the hospital staff withheld all fluids. I was not allowed to see him except one time because of one compassionate nurse who on December 4th told me, "I'm going to bend the rules. Do you want to see your husband?" I wanted answers regarding his treatment. I demanded a meeting with the primary doctor. The meeting took place on Monday, December 6th. Dr. Ephraim Geed, who later signed the death certificate, looked me straight in the eye and said, "Your husband is going to die." I pleaded with the staff to give him treatment that works. They refused. I asked if they would at least give him vitamin C. The nurse said, "No, that's not hospital protocol." I received several calls from staff over the next few days saying that Bert was depressed. I pleaded again to be able to see him. They refused, even though he was on comfort care. Only after Bert passed away on December 9th was I allowed to see him. When I saw him, he clearly had not been cleaned or cared for several days. We're all certain that my husband was a victim of the ill treatment he received while a patient at Mercy Hospital. End quote. All of this took place almost simultaneously with Scott Quiner's case. The similarities are jarring. Relatively healthy patients whose health collapsed from being denied basic nourishment while the hospital simultaneously refuses or even attempts any other treatments that are outside of protocol, even as they tell family members that their loved ones are destined for death. So there's nothing to lose. That's healthcare at Mercy Hospital. And for all we know, hundreds or even thousands of other hospitals across this country. Honestly, when you hear these stories, it starts to become painfully clear that these people are intentionally killing unvaccinated people. And Rita Kroon wants the world to know that Scott Quiner or the rest of them, her husband included, are not isolated incidents. And she joins us now. Rita, first of all, we're sorry for the loss of your husband, Bert. We're keeping you in our prayers. Thank you. Tell us in your own words. I mean, how do you see this?
I see it as very alarming. When Bert was first admitted to the hospital, I felt relief that he was going to have some help, and he never got the help. And the weekend before he passed away, we tried very hard to get a hold of an attorney to have an emergency court case where they would force Mercy Hospital to try a treatment outside the protocol to help my husband, but they refused. And we just felt a lot of disconcerting incidents that have happened and didn't happen. And the one time that I was allowed to see him, I was all gowned up in masks and everything. So I went in to see him, and he was laying in bed. He was very weak and pretty much unkempt. And I saw a food tray 6 feet out of his reach. I don't know what was on the food tray, but it was sitting there. And there was no way that he could even feed himself at this point. And I was getting so nervous about this that after he passed away, I requested and received the full medical records of his time at the hospital. And one of the things that was so disturbing to me was just prior to his death, they said, this is the history of his passing away. Bert Kroon is an 81-year-old male who presents to the emergency department by EMS for evaluation of weakness. Per EMS, patient tested positive for COVID-19 6 days ago. Patient presented to urgent care 4 days ago and was diagnosed with pneumonia due to COVID-19. He was started on azithromycin and amoxicillin at that time. Since then, he reports increased weakness. He endorses shortness of breath and is sitting 86% on room air. En route, patient was placed on 15 liters of supplemental oxygen with improvement of oxygen saturation to 94 to 95%. Upon evaluation, patient states that he does not want to be intubated, but is comfortable with having compressions done if needed. Patient is unvaccinated against COVID-19. And throughout the medical records, his being unvaccinated was mentioned on almost every page, And there's quite a few pages. And I just thought that was not right. And when he was, when they told me that he had lost 15 pounds in 10 days, I just thought, how can this be? And the day that I saw him, I demanded actually a meeting with the doctors and the nurse the next day. And it was during that meeting that Dr. Jihad looked at me straight in the eye and he said, your husband is going to die. And there was no compassion. And still, he was supposedly on comfort care, but I couldn't tell the difference because I was left out of the loop all the time on what they were doing. Any procedure that they did, I was left out of the loop. They never called to either request the permission to do whatever procedure they were doing. One of them was just before he died, they stuck a needle in his right lung to aspirate fluid if there was any. And according to the medical records, shortly after that, he went into cardiac arrest. So when they called me at 4 o'clock on Thursday morning, December 9th, and said that his heart stopped and he was not breathing, and did they want me to continue CPR? And I said, yes, until I get there. And the nurse said, I'm sorry, he only has a minute left. And that was how I was told that my husband had passed away. So.
We are so sorry. And for coming here to tell the world about what's happening at this hospital, it takes a lot of bravery. And, you know, we acknowledge that. And so people need to understand that this is happening and that these are not isolated incidents. And yes, Scott Quiner is in the news because we got involved. Several people got involved. We learned of the situation. But what needs to be in the news and what the media is dishonestly not reporting is that this is happening to thousands of people, including Bert, and that they're leaving behind real people who care about them, who miss them, who love them. And it's senseless for this to be happening. It's tragic. Rita, thank you so much. We're going to be praying for you. God bless you.
Thank you. And I wish you well as you continue to explore this and expose this. It needs to be out there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just so incredibly sad. And for those of you that might say, well, Stu, he was 81 years old. Bert was a high-risk patient for COVID-19. No. The week before this guy went into the hospital, Bert golfed 18 holes without a cart. He also that week bowled like a 226. The guy was incredibly active and totally healthy. Make people aware of these shots. Make people aware of how dangerous they are. That's the game plan, is to force everybody towards these bioweapon injections. Okay? The vaccine police are fighting this. The reason why they're being attacked so fervently is because of their effectiveness. That's why the Daily Beast is in a love affair with Christopher Key and the vaccine police. Go to vaccine-police.com. Check out all of the videos. He documents everything from his speeches in front of lawmakers to his disruptions at medical clinics and face-to-face confrontations with, you know, hospital administrators and putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas with the updated vaccine adverse events reporting system data and all of the people killed from these bioweapon shots. Please, he needs monetary support. I am happy that I support the vaccine police. And in the face of all of the opposition from the Daily Beast and others, I will continue to double down on my support of Christopher Key and the vaccine police. I hope that you will join me. Go to vaccine-police.com right now. We need them, folks. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. So we've seen this pattern play out over and over again. Patients head to the hospital with a COVID case. Their condition rapidly declines. They're put on a ventilator and they die. Why does this keep happening? One possible reason is this drug they keep giving them called remdesivir. More than a year ago, even the World Health Organization said remdesivir shouldn't be used in any COVID cases ever because there's no evidence of it being helpful and a lot of evidence that it causes deadly kidney failure, among other things. But hospitals keep using it. Even while they move heaven and earth to keep patients from using ivermectin, which at minimum is completely harmless, even if it doesn't work. And there's quite a bit of evidence that it does work. But it's not just remdesivir that's causing patients to die. Dr. Brian Artis joins us now to talk about what's causing these patients to die so frequently in our pro-death hospitals. I mean, we don't want to be hyperbolic, but we've basically called this premeditated murder. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree, Stu. It's good to be back on your audience's show.
Yeah, thank you.
On your show. But we have to warn, and I've continued to do this, and I've been on your show before early on. Since May 2020, I've been exposing the fact that the trials that Anthony Fauci said supported the use of remdesivir as being a safe and effective drug have done nothing but prove the opposite. And he's been lying this entire time. So he is complicit. The NIH is complicit. The NIH just on December 16th updated a chart. It's called Table 2F. And it's characteristics of antiviral agents that are approved or under evaluation for the treatment of COVID-19. And they listed only one drug as FDA approved. And that drug is remdesivir. And it's been the only drug they've been trying to push down the throats and into the veins of every innocent supposed or diagnosed COVID-19 patient in American hospitals. And this drug, from day one, I've been making the world aware that this drug is proven to cause acute kidney failure, multiple organ failure. And now we have confirmation as of October of 2021 that it kills heart cells even worse than what Anthony Fauci said chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine did, which made him say no one in this country can use hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine to treat COVID-19 patients. But the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal in October printed that it kills cardiomyocytes, which is heart's muscle cells. It kills them, can cause cardiac arrest, and is much deadlier and harmful to the heart than the actual chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine, which has proven way more safe and effective and has been FDA approved for over 70 years.
So not only the remdesivir, but then also, you know, the malnourishment, the withholding of fluids, basic things. I mean, Dr. Artis, listen, just from, you know, person to person here, I'm no medical expert. My grandma, great grandma, growing up, I mean, you start to come down with something. What's the first thing that they do? You better take some vitamin C, right? You better eat your chicken soup, right? I mean, these are commonly known things that people do to stay healthy. Number one, a lot of people just take a daily regimen of vitamin C to stay healthy, particularly in northern states and especially in the wintertime, cold season, flu season, all of those things. You just kind of increase your vitamin C intake. These are common things. Patients are being denied these things, vitamin C, vitamin D, the things that your body needs in order to fight off anything. And these patients are presenting very ill. So it's not just Tony Fauci and the NIH that are now complicit, but it's these doctors and these medical care facilities.
Oh, it absolutely is. They are denying nourishment, food. I mean, how basic is it to common sense and logic and rationale that we need food and water in order to survive?
Yes.
We need
you have
food
to eat
and water
to live.
In order to heal.
Right.
Yeah, in order to live. And now they're denying rights to food and nourishment in all of these patients around the country to speed up their death. And I'm going to tell you why this is horrific and how it is I know personally they're doing this. This is exactly what they denied to my own father-in-law in early of February 2020. And it wasn't even a COVID protocol. It was a flu protocol. And they denied him rights to have any nourishment or food for 7 days before they killed him on morphine with a morphine drip. And that's what they're doing with patients right now. They're using sedatives in hospitals right now to intubate and vent these patients with remdesivir on day one. So they pump them full of remdesivir, which shuts down their kidneys, and they put them on a vent, and they're using sedatives like fentanyl, midazolam, lorazepam, which suppress your body's ability to breathe and take in oxygen. Then they deny them food, and we have patient advocates working directly with our team to actually help patients through all 50 states and in Canada, and it's all the same story over and over. We're denying them food, which is going to actually cause them to starve to death. And then we're going to pump them full of a drug, remdesivir, to shut down their kidneys, stop their hearts from beating, and then over-sedate them under the guise that we're actually suppressing agitation as we vent them. And it's all a disgusting way to kill them. And Stu, why are they doing it? Every hospital in America is being incentivized by our federal government to actually give a PCR test to 100% of all people that walk through the doors of a hospital. Two, to actually give a positive COVID-19 diagnosis, regardless of why they come in. They will get an added bonus for a percentage of patients that walk through their doors every month if they can report positive COVID-19 diagnoses, which is deplorable. And the Medicare, CMS.gov, currently is giving a 20% bonus payout just if doctors and hospitals will put down a positive COVID-19 case diagnosis.
Now, Dr. Elizabeth Vliet has been tracking this and has all of these receipts. So the things that you're saying, I know them to be true, and she's going to be joining us momentarily to lay all of that out. I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but I got to get to a question. So these patients where the quote media, the dishonest news media is reporting, for example, in Scott Quiner's case, which you're familiar with, that this guy was in a coma for 3 months. That is inherently false. That's totally not true. He was not in a coma. He was put in a state of sedation. He was drugged so that he couldn't respond to things like pain or squeeze fingers or be responsive, so that this hospital and hospitals just like this one can browbeat the loved ones into forcing the remdesivir, the ventilator, and ultimately unplugging them from life.
Yep, Dr. Vliet's going to do an incredible job of laying out why all hospitals are following this exact deadly protocol. They're getting money for every step of this, including if they can get a COVID-19 death out of the individual while there. So yes, it's horrible. Could you imagine, Stu, right now, without having some sedative drug going into your veins, could you imagine someone shoving a plastic tube down your throat to force air into your lungs?
No, of course not.
It is going to be incredibly irritating. This is why they put you on drugs to sedate you into a very deep, try to remove some of your consciousness so you're not aware of the agitation and pain of this tube going into your throat. That's why they're using these drugs. Disgustingly, people are reaching out to me going, Doc, every time we ask the doctors to pull the vent out, they go to pull it out and the patient can't breathe. My loved one can't breathe, so they say we have to put it back in. And then I ask them, how much is their sedative medications going into their body? And they call back or email back and say that every day they're increasing these sedative drugs. And I want you to know, midazolam, lorazepam, and fentanyl, as you increase those, they paralyze your diaphragm and then reduce your heart rate, which means the patient can't breathe on their own. So you have to reduce those drugs so they come out of this comatose state so they can breathe on their own. It's just a horrible, horrible scenario, but you have to educate, you have to warn, and I just have to throw it out there. For every person in America, every hospital is being incentivized to follow all of these, and Dr. Vliet's going to go through that here in just a second. Everything they're being bribed and paid to do to your loved ones who can survive. Man. Everyone needs to know that they need to get an advanced medical directive, and they need to sign that, have it notarized, and have that ready before you go to the hospital. They are denying every patient's rights that used to exist, and they're destroying medical power of attorney, which has always been in existence. If a patient goes under sedation, there's always someone designated to speak on behalf of that individual, and hospitals are taking those forms away, not allowing patients to even know that right exists anymore. Everyone needs to get an advanced medical directive form. And on those forms, we have one on our site, thedrartistshow.com, under the resources page. It's free. Go download it. Attorney Kelly Sorrell created it. There's five things you initial and say, I do not consent to if you admit me into this hospital. Whether under presumption or under positive COVID PCR test, if you determine I have COVID-19, I do not consent to remdesivir. I do not consent to being vented. And the fourth bullet point, you need to initial this one if this is true for you. On intake forms in hospitals around this country, hidden in the text, if you sign that admissions form, put your name on it, it actually says in small print, by signing this form, I consent to this hospital giving me the COVID-19 vaccines without my verbal consent. On the medical directive to physicians form, it says on the fourth bullet point, you initial, it says, I do not consent now, nor if you transfer me to a psychiatric ward, I never have and never will consent to the COVID-19 vaccines. Mm. If that's true for you, notarize that form, take it. It's the only legal recourse you're going to have if they try to do this stuff to you once you get in the hospital. So a medical directive to physicians form and a medical power of attorney form. You need to have these in your home as if you are in your third trimester of pregnancy and the water's going to break at any moment. You don't know. And you prepare your travel bag.
Yeah.
Our hospitals in America are set up to be death camps, and our federal government and federal health agencies are paying them to do this.
Unbelievable.
So please print out these forms, have them on hand, put them in your car so that if you ever end up there for any emergency period, even if you sprain your ankle and you go to the hospital thinking maybe it's broken, they're going to shove a PCR swab up your nose
yep.
to go to the government. We did it on everybody.
Yep.
And they're going to give a certain percentage of COVID-19 positive cases so they can remdesivir, vent you, kill you.
Yeah. You go in with something completely different, and the next thing you know, you're on a ventilator and dying. Go get that form, the drartishow.com. Man, I love you. Seriously, you've put together this entire network, and we're going to talk to some of those people, including a patient advocate coming up next week, who was instrumental in this Scott Quiner case and so many others. Dr. Brian Artis, thank you so much for everything that you've done, and thank you for making the time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu, and God bless these advocates that are fighting for all these people around this country.
Amen.
The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
And we're not feeling ivermectin for COVID. You can
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know, in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com, promo code STU.
Okay, so we've heard the horror stories from Mercy Hospital. We've heard about how patients are dying from bad drugs and from bad protocols and from malnourishment and the hostility that nurses and doctors have towards unvaccinated people. But why is all of that happening? For that, we're joined by Dr. Lee Vliet, who has the details on the incentives that hospitals have to just let patients die or worse, kill them intentionally. So just as this program, Dr. Vliet, is harder to find than, say, Hannity or Charlie Kirk or Ben Shapiro, the details that you're about to expose, the receipts, the proof is out there. It's just obfuscated and harder to find.
Exactly. It's on the CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services website. And these are waivers issued by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And the CARES Act, which was implemented in 2020, but extended and expanded under the Biden administration, has all of these incentive payments well documented. This is not any, there's no speculation. It's all in the government documents.
So how much are these doctors being paid to kill people like Scott Quiner?
It's the hospital incentive payments, primarily. The doctors, not individually, other than their salary when they're employed by the hospital.
Sure.
Hospital administrators know that they will be paid extra for doing the PCR test and positive test results. A COVID diagnosis means admission to the hospital. On admission, there is an incentive payment. Use of remdesivir provides a 20% bonus payment from our government to the hospital on the entire hospital bill for that COVID patient. It's a bounty on people's lives, basically, to use remdesivir and prevent access to other medications, such as hydroxychloroquine, even an ivermectin, and even budesonide is not being used when it could help reduce lung inflammation. Then the hospital gets an incentive payment for putting a patient on a ventilator. They get another incentive payment if the patient dies and is given a COVID diagnosis. The coroner gets extra money for a COVID diagnosis. An outpatient, doctors, medical practices are paid more under Medicare, Medicaid services based on a higher percentage of their patients being vaccinated. It's called value-based payments to a outpatient practice. So all the way across the line, from the hospital administrators who are making millions of dollars, on average, Tom Renz's team has calculated $100,000 minimum is the bonus paid to a hospital for every COVID patient that has the elements of COVID diagnosis, remdesivir and ventilator, and a COVID cause of death.
Unbelievable. So where do people find the proof of this? Because they're going to say, well, this is crazy. There's no way that all of this is happening.
I have put the links to the active source documents in my editorial, Biden's Bounty on Your Life, Hospital Incentive Payments for COVID. I will send you the editorial with the active links, and you can post it on your website.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And also truthforhealth.org, is it posted there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it was documented with the attorneys and the patients and the physicians in our press conference on medical tyranny, hospital abuses.
So when we said, way back when we were attacked by the media for calling this a money for murder scheme, we were absolutely right. That's exactly what's happening here. Hospital administrators are being paid serious cash to do PCR tests. This is why when you go in for, you know, a gunshot wound to the thigh, you're getting a PCR test. This is why exactly. You crash your motorcycle and you go into the emergency department and you're getting a PCR test. Because suddenly you go in for a hangnail and the next thing you know, you're hooked up to a ventilator and your family is sending you off and you're dying. I mean, literally, that's how things are working. Is that an overstatement or is that really happening?
No, it's not. In fact, we have patients that have contacted us in the emergency room and asked for our help. And they ended up, went in for an automobile accident, no respiratory symptoms whatsoever. What our whistleblowers have found, and this will be coming out in more detail in the setting of several lawsuits, but what they have found is that hospitals actually control the lab testing. They ramp up the cycle threshold on the PCR test. Unvaccinated people have tests that are run at 45 to 48 cycles. So 80 to 85% are positive falsely, even in somebody with a car accident, no respiratory symptoms. Those who are vaccinated are having a PCR test that's run at only 25 to 28 cycles, which makes it more reliable. So there's actual discrimination going on between vaccinated and unvaccinated on top of all of the incentive payments. We are fighting this battle with calls to our COVID care strategy team for the foundation. We're dealing with 5 or 6 hospitals every day, 7 days a week, trying to help the patients get care. They're being denied, trying to find attorneys who will step up and work with us to do the legal side of the battle while we do the medical side of the battle. It is chilling what is going on in our hospitals, and the public needs to wake up, do the things for early treatment and prevention that are on our Truth for Health Foundation website, and stay out of the hospital.
Yeah, and we're going to put those receipts as well at stupeters.com. I'm out of time here. We're going to have you back because I want to go into a whole lot of detail in those hospitals that you were mentioning. We're going to expose them. We're going to shine a light on these people and on these individual cases as well. Dr. Lively, thank you so much for making the time on short notice to be with us today. We truly appreciate it. God bless you.
You are so welcome.
It's not hyperbolic. That's what's happening here. Hospital administrators are getting incentivized to kill people on purpose, specifically those who are unvaccinated, to push the fear agenda in this country and force people into these poisonous injections that have killed themselves unprecedented amounts of people. And you think that they won't come to your door and try to grab your guns and shut this country down and have an Australia 2.0 right here in this country? Get guns, please. Go get a gun. Carry a gun everywhere. Never get caught slipping without a gun, a handgun, a shotgun, a rifle, house protection, personal protection, everywhere protection. Have a gun. Period. Our newest sponsor here on the show, GunsAmerica.com. You can buy or sell guns there. All transactions within 50 miles of your home, absolutely free. If you find the perfect gun for you and it's outside the area, still the rates are lower than anywhere else. Whether you are a private party or a dealer, GunsAmerica.com, 25 years in business, the most trusted online platform for buying and selling guns. They have experts there in the field breaking down, reviewing all of these different firearms, plus Hunt 365 and a whole lot of other benefits. Join the 1.5 million extremely smart people who are already members, including myself, at GunsAmerica.com. I will see you there. Go now. GunsAmerica.com. Again, GunsAmerica.com. It's long overdue, and I'm so happy to be able to make the announcement. Dr. Jane Ruby is launching her own show today, and we're proud to be a part of it. You can find her brand new show, Dr. Jane Ruby, The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, at stupeters.com. Dr. Jane is here with us now. Don't worry, she will remain a medical contributor here on The Stu Peters Show, but an entire hour, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern at StuPeters.com for premium users. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, redvoicemedia.com/premium, become a premium user. You get these extended interviews, plus now full access to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. What are you going to be doing on your show every day, by the way?
Well, Stu, you know, I just have to say this, that all of this would not have come to this point without you, your help, your mentorship, the opportunity you gave me to come on your show about a year ago. And it was a blessing that we had no idea it would blossom and expand to this. But I'm very excited. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show is going to be a little bit different than most podcast interview shows in the fact that it's going to be more educational. It's going to be more edifying. One of the things I've heard, in addition to all the praise and the love and the great support from being on your show, from all of our listeners, is that they would ask that I could talk more about some of these topics. And of course, your show is so incredibly fast driving, comprehensive, that you can't always do that. So here's an opportunity, and I'm very excited about it, to share more medical information, more background, to kind of try to break down for people what's going on, you know, what the FDA should be doing, what they're all about, how are these companies set up, what's happening with the latest propaganda around the medicine. So for that, I am just really grateful to God. I'm grateful to everybody at Red Voice Media, to your production team. They're first shelf, top shelf. They're just wonderful. And I'm really excited to launch the show today. I think everybody's going to be very excited to see it.
That's coming up today and every other weekday, Monday through Friday, from here until an eternity. As Dr. Jane Ruby will be broadcasting live, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. You can find it at StuPeters.com. It's for premium users. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium. And by the way, that $10 a month, a lot of people spend $10 a day on coffee. But that $10 a month gets you this exclusive educational access to Dr. Jane. And you're right. How many different times have you been on this program and actually broken earth-shattering, groundbreaking, revelations-type news? And then also you take the chinks to your armor and you're out there in the front getting blasted by the demons and the Satan worshipers over at the Daily Beast and the USA Today and, you know, the sure. Rolling Stone and, you know, all these other people. And so, you know, here you are brave enough to do it. And now not only that, not only on this program, but to have your own program and do it for an hour every day. And you're right. People are going to get this breaking news, but then they're going to get a real, like, more deep dive into the details of why it's happening, where it's happening, how it's happening, and who's behind it. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone else in media at all is doing anything like this, Stu, a dedicated show on the medical issues. And we are gonna have guests, but they're gonna be very, you know, very specifically selected to the topics that people are very concerned about and the stories that I'm breaking. And I think that, in fact, shortly after I started as your medical contributor last year, maybe around July, I broke the graphene oxide story. And that went, I think it's over 2 million views. I don't know if you have more of an update, but very proud of
lots
that.
Lots of people, views, yes.
Absolutely. It's been very exciting and many more since then. So,
and lots of views to us is an indication of this is really important. You know,
absolutely. So that people are watching and they think it's serving their needs. And that's what we're here to do. And we're going to do that on the Dr. Jane Ruby
Show. Well, congratulations. We fully support you 100%. We hope that the viewers will too. We know that they do. They love you over here. So get to StuPeters.com right now. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium. Sign up for that premium. Get full access to the very brand new launching today at 7 p.m. Eastern, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Dr. Jane, congratulations. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you too, Stu. God bless you.
Give the most of Red Voice Media by going premium. Exclusive behind-the-scenes content, one-on-one extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters, and deep-dive investigative reports. All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member. Always 100% America first. True conservative values. Action-based reporting with courage. 100% ad-free content, including the headlines mainstream media won't touch. Uncensored. Unafraid. Unstoppable. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Coming up tomorrow, it's so incredibly important. I have it highlighted, big, bright highlighting all over the page, all over the schedule. Tomorrow night after this program, Carlos Cortez, Cortez Wealth Management, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, free class for all of you patriots. It lasts about 20 to 30 minutes. No charge for this thing at all whatsoever. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. The Never Tax Retirement Strategy, part of the America First Retirement Plan. Go secure your free seat right now. Do it from the comfort of your own home. Do it with your dog, with your girlfriend, with your husband, your spouse, your mom, your dad, from the toilet. Doesn't matter. Go secure your spot right now. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!